You can support this podcast on patreon.com/firstpawmedia.
The 2022 Aftershock Festival took place in Sacramento from Thursday, October 6th through Sunday, October 9th, and once again staged an event that was even bigger than the previous year. Now stretching 4 days and spread out on 4 stages, this year's installment had something for everyone, as promoter Danny Whitmer Presents continues to expand and diversify the lineup. And although the weather was quite warm in the low 90s each day, that didn't stop the massive crowds from enjoying every minute of the festival.
Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Rockin' Coasters Podcast. I'm Michelle Forto for First Paw Media. Today, I'm going to be talking with you guys about the 2022 Aftershock Festival in California. I'm flying solo on this podcast because Robert is still recuperating from dental surgery and is not up to host with me just yet. But that's okay. I break down the whole 4 days and our thoughts on the bands we wanted to see. Here we go. Slipknot, Evanescence, and Rob Zombie. We arrived early to the festival after spending more than an hour trying to figure out parking. Unlike Louder Than Life, you must park miles away from the festival grounds and take a bus over. On day one, there were a few hiccups, but they worked it out by the evening runs. We drove our Toyota RAV4 down from Seattle that we purchased earlier in the summer, and it was an awesome road trip. We took the scenic route down the California coast through the Redwoods and even stopped in San Francisco on our way. Robert and I do our best to see as much of the country as we can on these trips, and this one was no different. Day one was headlined by Slipknot, with frontman Corey Taylor and company churning out classics like Wait and Bleed, Psychosocial, and Surfacing, alongside the dying song Time to Sing from their brand new album, The End So Far. Rob Zombie closed out the Colas stage right before Slipknot's set and delivered a mighty selection of his shock rock hits to a packed audience. Other highlights from the day included Evanescence, Rob Zombie, of course, and Stone Temple Pilots. It was pretty dang hot the whole weekend, but the grounds were laid out much better than Louder Than Life, with plenty of trees, and VIP is totally worth it. My advice, if you are going to invest the time into going to one of the big festivals like this one, I highly encourage you to buy the weekend VIP passes, especially if you are over 50 like we are. The festival grounds are a bit wonky in their layout, with the two main stages separated by the VIP section in the middle, so it takes some time to figure out the best way to navigate the throngs of people, as the sets are only about 5 minutes apart on the start times. Robert and I were excited to see Evanescence for the first time. I remember more than a decade ago, we had bought tickets in Denver, but they canceled at the last minute. Amy Lee did not disappoint, and she belted out all of her hits, and it was fun to see this band after so long. Of course, Robert and I could not wait to see the Rob Zombie set. As soon as these guys hit the stage, Robert could immediately tell it was not your typical zombie show. Of course, all the props, videos were there, but John 5 was noticeably absent. Riggs, back after more than 20 years, and while he sounded okay, you could tell he was rusty, even on the tunes that he had a hand in writing way back in the day. Zombie and John 5 wore magic together for all these years. Along with Piggy D and Ginger Fish, the quartet seemed to be an awesome band. It took about a month for J5 to announce why he wasn't there. He joined Motley Crue. Slipknot was the headliner, and if you follow this podcast, you will know that we just saw these guys in Seattle a couple months earlier. That was by far one of the best concerts I have ever seen, and this set proved nothing different. While we were way in the back, it was still a Slipknot show, and my God, the energy. Kiss, Danzig, Falling in Reverse, and Apocalyptica. One of the things that we always try to find unique and fun restaurants to try when we are traveling. We found the Fox and Goose Public House, and Robert had a triple shot espresso, a 5-hour energy, and a Red Bull before entering the festival. Just wait. This will play into the story in just a bit. They had the parking and shuttles figured out, and we made it to the festival grounds by 2 p.m., It was going to be a day of a lot of great bands, and we were excited to be here. If I can say, the festival grounds along the river are huge, and it snakes all the way back to under the freeway. Here you will find a couple smaller stages and most of the food vendors. It reminds me of an old medieval market. The DW Presents stage is tucked away in a corner, and Robert and I watched the Apocalyptica set. These guys were awesome. We have been fans for a long time, but this was the first time seeing them live. If you ever get a chance, watch them. We always say that there is one band that truly makes the festival for us, and this was the band this year. We spent most of the day wandering back and forth, catching bits of the sets from the bands we didn't care too much about. By the time it was getting dark, Danzig hit the stage, and Robert and I watched it from one of the picnic tables in the VIP section. Nothing remarkable, but Glenn still has it after all these years. Lamb of God was up next, and while they are not our cup of tea, you could tell they were a fan favorite at the festival. They were loud, fast, and in-your-face heavy metal, just what the festival is all about. The true highlight of the festival for us was Kiss, and we almost missed it. Right before they were set to take the stage, Robert had some sort of medical incident where his heart rate skyrocketed to more than 180. Remember, all that caffeine earlier in the day, 5-hour energy, and a Red Bull? He was a step away from going to the medical tent, but told me, wouldn't it be ironic if his first and last concert was Kiss, noting that he saw the band for the first time when he was just 6 years old. By the time Gene, Paul, and the boys hit the stage, Robert seemed to be okay, or maybe he was just acting like he was. My goodness, did Kiss put on a show. Kiss headlined day two, and they made sure that they brought all the fire that they possibly could with them, playing 18 songs. The legendary band performed one of Aftershock's most memorable sets ever. And when they closed out their set with Rock and Roll All Night, it was the perfect way to close out the day. Little side note here, there is nothing quite like watching a 70-plus-year-old man fly across the crowd to delight all of the fans. My Chemical Romance, A Day to Remember, Papa Roach, Hailstorm, and Theory of a Dead Man. We know going into this festival that day three would be a good one because they had a couple bands that we wanted to see, mainly Hailstorm and Theory of a Dead Man. After the medical incident with Robert the day before, we wanted to make sure we drank plenty of fluids and got a good meal before we headed in. We found The Porch restaurant with some of the best breakfast we ever had. Wait for the cinnamon roll, you guys. It's totally worth it. I love Lizzie Hale. I think she is one of the best female leads in rock. And my goodness, can she still belt out all of the hits. Sirius XM host Jose Mangan and his daughter introduced Hailstorm and told the crowd that it was this band that was the biggest influence for his daughter, who was in a band herself. It was our first time seeing Theory of a Dead Man, and they are such a fun band. They remind me of a band you might see at a state fair, and they did not disappoint. By the time Papa Roach hit the stage, it was dark, and what a fun set. Robert and I have seen these guys a few times over the years, but you could see that Papa Roach, who were playing their biggest hometown show ever, they're from nearby Vacaville, closed out the Cola stage. And they too made sure their fans left happy, playing a set list that included a cover of The Prodigy's Firestarter, their monster hit Last Resort, and Born for Greatness, during which they brought out the UC Davis Marching Band. Day three was headlined by My Chemical Romance, who were arguably the most anticipated band of the entire festival. They did not disappoint their fans, some of whom were waiting up against the barricade all day in the sweltering sun. Gerard Way and company delivered a 17-song set highlighted by such tunes as I'm Not Okay, I Promise, and Welcome to the Black Parade. Muse, The Pretty Reckless, Dirty Honey, Shinedown, Black Label Society. Before heading to the festival, we had some pretty dang good local barbecue at Buckhorn Barbecue, who has been around since the 1930s. I was excited to see Dirty Honey. This was a band that I had been telling Robert about for more than a year. Up next was The Pretty Reckless. While it was a short set and really hot, Taylor and the guys put on a rousing set. If you're a fan of this podcast, you know that this is one of Robert's favorite bands. Fun fact, did you know that anytime we are on a red-eye flight, which is almost always because we are coming down from Alaska, that Robert puts the Pretty Reckless on shuffle and tries to sleep on the plane? No lie. Robert was super excited to see Black Label Society. While I will admit I was exhausted and overheated at this point, Robert loved it. Yes, Zakk Wylde is by far one of the greatest guitarists in rock. Of course, BLS played all their hits for the Sacramento chapter, and Zakk truly is impressive. It will be interesting to see what happens next year, as he just announced that he will be touring with Pantera and playing Dimebag Darrell's licks. A fun fact, at the time of this recording, Metallica just announced their new tour, and we snagged tickets for their 23 set in Phoenix and 24 set in Seattle. Pantera will be at both shows, as well as Mammoth, who is led by Wolfgang Van Halen. I'm very excited to see that band. Shinedown was who we were here to see today. Shinedown brought so much fire and closed out the second main stage. What a fun set. These guys never disappoint, and I think Robert has a new appreciation for Brent. A fun fact, did you know that the guitarist Zakk Myers is a huge horror fan and travels with several Michael Myers masks from the Halloween movies? He has them on his guitar stack just off stage. The show was really centered around the band's latest album, Planet Zero, and like most of their songs, everyone tells a story. Quick side note, go check out the documentary Attention, Attention on Amazon Prime. It was awesome. The fourth and final day featured headliner Muse, who had stepped in after Foo Fighters had to cancel after Taylor Hawkins' death. And they definitely won over the crowd with their high energy and pyro-filled set. By the time it was all said and done, Aftershock once again showed why the festival has become the biggest hard rock and metal fest on the West Coast. Every year, the organizers seem to pull off something even bigger and better than the previous year, meaning that we have a lot to look forward to in 23. So what is our overall impression? You guys have to realize, this was our first ever visit to Aftershock. And I gotta say, Aftershock is a fun festival and is put on by the best, most professional promoters in the business. It always seems that they pay attention to every detail. Well, like I said, this was our first time. Hopefully it won't be our last. We did purchase tickets to Louder Than Life 23 while we were here, but I bet we are back to Cali in 24. I would give the festival a solid 7 out of 10 with just a couple hiccups for the lower rating, namely the parking situation and the lineup, while solid, seemed to be stacked on a couple of days. Did you go to Aftershock? If so, let us know in the comments section or on our social channels. Just search Rockin' Coasters Podcast. And one last thing. Did you know the single best thing you can do for our show is tell your family and friends how you listen? Who knows? They might just become a rabid listener just like you. Until next time, I'm Michelle Forto for First Paw Media.